Drive Guys with you. Sorry, Simone decided to play the whole fourth quarter for us there, Trace, but we thought, well, maybe we'll just...
Who makes the final call be 54 seconds long? I thought it was going to be a quick 15-second thing. That's my roommate. That's my sweet roommate.
We're good. We're good. Yeah, the Heat win it 115-106. Drapes is in Indianapolis. Whitey here in Sacramento. We're just talking about the offensive explosions in the NBA. By the way, Matt Barnes is going to join us bottom of the hour. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on that. So right now, Drapes, are the Kings still an elite offensive team after setting records at that end last year?
No, I think they're middle of the pack. Not middle of the pack, but, you know, what do we consider elite? Top five? I just haven't seen it this year. You know, if we pull up the numbers here, they just don't seem – they're too inconsistent, right? Mm-hmm. On some days, yes, they look great. They look immaculate. And then other days, like last night, you know, it's like you're driving through mud. And so I wouldn't necessarily say that they're an elite offensive team right now.
I think in some ways it has to do with what we were talking about, what Joe Dumars had to address, the surge of offense in the NBA. Because if I'm not mistaken, the Kings' three-point percentage is a little bit, last time I checked anyway, and maybe it's changed in the last couple of games, but it's a little bit higher than last year, a little bit. But ranking-wise, it was much lower. So it looks like a lot of teams just got a lot better offensively than the Kings have since last year.
Yeah, Kings 13th in three-point percentage this year. And I could pull that up really quickly. Last year, they were...
Ninth, I think, or...
Oh, Whitey, let's see if you... Yeah, ninth.
Uh-huh.
You know, at... And they're shooting a tick up this year.
That's what I said.
This year, they're at 37%. Uh-huh. Last year, they were at 36.9.
Right.
It's all the other offenses have gotten better.
Yeah.
You know, you look at a team like Philly, they're at 38.7% from three range. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so, no, you're right about that, man. It's still... Based on last year's, if this was last year, I would say, yes, it's an elite offense. But not now in today's NBA.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons Mike Brown is stressing defense as much as he is. Compio, by the way, we were talking about how much harder it is to play defense now. Compio on the chat says, back in the 80s, players picked up the ball full court. You rarely see it now. Mm-hmm. The end says, I like the old school play better than today's cupcake BS.
The end is just a curmudgeon, that's all. He's just a grumpy Gus out there. Like,
I've had enough of this cupcake BS. Basketball? Yeah.
What is old school basketball? Do we want to go back to the 90s when people weren't even watching? Like, you know, I don't know, man. I think offense is good. It's not even about the offense that I think people have problems with, Whitey. It's that the compete level of the guys.
Yeah.
Like you lose a game and then they go dap up, smiling, make a dinner plan. I think that's what people miss. They don't necessarily miss defense or any, but they just miss the competition of it. And you see it ramp up from time to time. You see it ramp up in the fourth quarter. You see it ramp up in a big game, something like that in the playoffs. But I think the day-to-day competition, the compete level, you know, Terry Rozier made an interesting comment and sort of taken a little bit out of context, but he was talking about the difference between Miami and Charlotte. And he mentioned how in Charlotte, you sort of get used to losing, like you get numb to it. And I think there's a number of franchises out there where, you know, you go into a game and you kind of know we're probably not going to win. And I think people miss the compete level, the rivalries. Like, are there any real rivalries in the NBA right now?
There's supposed to be one on TV tonight, right? And it's not. I mean, it's an embarrassment. Lakers and Celtics, especially without LeBron and AD, it's like, no. I mean, 1985, that was a rivalry. 2010, that was a rivalry. Right now, sorry, nice try.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's still, to me, you know, the best rivalry in all of basketball. I get goosebumps when I see Lakers-Celtics, but you know, outside of that, are there even individual rivalries? Like, remember, and we had Mitch Richmond on, this is, you know, last year, and he talked about going up against Michael Jordan, talked about, you know, Kobe Bryant wanting you know, to get the better of India. Like, we don't have that nowadays. I think Devin Booker is a guy
that brings it night in and night out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Yeah, but the NBA is missing real rivalries right now, too, I think.
I think you touched on a key a few moments ago. We were talking about mm-hmm. defense, and you were talking about the rules and how you're not allowed to do things that you used to be able to do defensively. And just a couple days ago, I was talking to Jerry Reynolds over the phone, and Jerry said, he said, Jerry West was a great defender. He said, if he played today, I don't know that he would be allowed to be the defender that he was.
Mm. Yeah, it's just different rules, different. Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you this then, because we talk about defense so much. Maybe these guys are great defenders, but because of today's rules, you're not allowed to be even.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the fouls that are being called and everything. As soon as you try to get physical and guard with your body, they blow the whistle. So it's harder to play defense today than at any juncture in NBA history.
If you were ever to consider a rule to bring down scoring, which we know leagues don't do, it always goes the other way. But in the NBA, and this is another thing Jerry has suggested, I think the only thing you could do really is eliminate the corner three because it's shorter, you know, and I'm not saying you should, but if you were looking, if it ever got to the point, what do? You can make the 3-point line longer. Okay. But if that's a little extreme, how about just take away that short three in the corner? I don't know. I think that would make a significant difference, but the NBA's fine with all the scoring. They don't want more defense. Right. They want more scoring.
Right. Yeah. 100% because let's be honest. When Luka goes off for 73, that's good for the NBA.
Yes, yes.
As much as no defense was played by Atlanta, that was great for the NBA. That became a topic. That's what everybody was talking about the next day. Here we are a couple of weeks later. We're still talking about it. We're talking about Karl-Anthony Towns, 62, Joel Embiid's 70. And so, if a game was 93-90, and a guy scored 30 points, it's not as sexy, you know? And so I think scoring is good. There has to be a balance, though. And I think we're at a point now where it might start to tip. I mean, all the rules that have been put into place has been to aid scoring, aid player movement instead of restrict player movement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the hand check should come back. I don't know, like you said, do you take away the corner three? Do you make the court bigger and stretch out the corner 3-point line a little farther? I don't know what it is. There's no answer, because these guys are so good too. We got to understand these players are better in terms of shooting long distances than ever before. Like, they practice the half court shots. Dame Lillard, Steph Curry, they practice these deep shots. What are you going to do? How do you guard that? I just don't know.
Yeah. Scooter 916 says you don't need to change anything with scoring. They need to be allowed to play more defense. NBA needs to stop the stupid touch fouls. If they just got rid of those, it'd make the game much better. And again, here we are saying, what do you do about this problem? And we both know, and every basketball fan knows, that the NBA doesn't necessarily even view it as a problem. If you've watched basketball a long time, you see the changes.
Right.
But the league is like, what's to worry about? This is great. Scoring, scoring, scoring.
And also, too, Whitey, they're talking about get rid of touch fouls and all this. What is a foul in the NBA?
That's a good foul, question.
You know, that's a great question, right? What is a foul in the NBA? If it, you know, I don't even know anymore. You know, some days is this, other days is that. And then the constant parade to the free throw line. You know, one thing you could do instead of, you know, free throws after five fouls, maybe make it seven or something like that and cut down on the amount of free throws some of these guys take too. Mm-hmm. Like, free throws are not good for basketball, like viewing wise. Like,
right.
If you have a game where Lakers shoot 40 and the Kings shoot 43, never happened because the Kings won't outshoot Lakers from the free throw line, you know, but if that's not aesthetically pleasing. And so maybe you put it back to seven free throws and then you get to shoot foul shots.
Throws. Yeah. Pardon me. Have you ever heard the rules that they have in the Korean basketball league? They're crazy rules. They're nutty. Shots in the final 3 seconds are 8 points. There's, if there's a swish, you get an extra point, stuff like that. It's nutty, but there's one rule I like. Yeah. And if I remember right, you miss a free throw, you lose a point. How about that? You miss a free throw. We subtract a point.
I don't know if I like that, Whitey. Our guys ain't been hitting free throws lately. What are we now? 28-15 or 28-18 or something?
Right.
Dude, we'd
right.
be like 15-29 right now.
Yeah, the whole game would just be hack
that is
whoever.
Crazy. You get penalized for missing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Uh-huh. All right. When we come right back, quick timeout. We're going to review for you the reaction from the NBA on TNT crew. They recognize that Sacramento was snubbed, and we'll play that for you. Hear it for yourself next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. All right, Kyle Draper, here we go. Here's some of the rules from the North Korea Basketball League. This is from October of 2020. So I think we touched on the key ones. Slam dunks are worth 3 points. Three-point shots are awarded 4 points if the ball doesn't touch the rim. 1 point deducted for every missed free throw shot. And any field goal made in the last 3 seconds of a game is worth 8 points.
Dang, 8 points. Dog, you could be down by seven or eight. And if you hit a buzzer beater, you win the game.
Boom. Boom. Yeah.
Walk off, right?
I don't think we're ready for all those rules.
That's a little too wacky.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though, because and I know we got Matt Barnes coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'd love to ask him about this. Do you personally feel like there needs to be a change?
At least in the officiating. I think they need to allow more physical defense consistently, because it seems like, you know, sometimes guys get away with, federal crimes in the vicinity of the basket. But then if you just like glance at somebody the wrong way on the perimeter, oh, it's a foul, you know, three free throws. So that's the game would benefit. I think the product would benefit. I understand. We all understand. More points, more viewers, theoretically. But there has to be more consistency, because I think, some of the cliches, some of the things people think about basketball, people that aren't fans, you need to address those. Like some people say, there's no defense. Everybody travels all the time and nothing matters to the last 2 minutes. And I think there are things the league could do to address some of those prejudices.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think ultimately it comes down to something I said earlier. If the games are competitive, meaning the players compete hard right from the jump, like that's one thing you never have in football. We never really hear about a team dogging it and then turning it up. And like, you know, right from the opening, you know, you get the feeling that they're laying it all on the line. I feel like a lot of times with basketball, you know, guys sort of, you know, take their time getting into it. An early bucket doesn't matter as much as a late bucket. Whereas in like football, there's limited scoring. You know, that opening touchdown might, you know, be you know, what makes the difference in the game. I don't know what it is that needs to change. I actually like the scoring. I like the oohs and the ahs and the individual skill. I just wish maybe it wasn't as ball dominant by one person. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like you got one guy now that handles the ball and, you know, you play off him. Like I'm thinking of Luka. I'm thinking of LeBron. I'm thinking of even with us, Domantas Sabonis. Like, and bring back post play, too.
Yeah.
I miss post play. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Well, you were a master of the low post, weren't you? No, I guess
Dude,
you were. You
I,
were
I
a guard.
I mastered the sky hook.
Okay.
I mastered the sky hook, that's for sure. When Magic hit that baby running hook over the Celtics, I went to the park and practiced that all day and night, and that was my shot.
You know what? Times last night, by the way, real quick, I thought against the zone the Kings did a little too much dribbling and not enough passing. Yeah, you know, and that's you can't attack. You put the ball on the deck against the zone too much. Yeah, you want to attack the seams, but I thought they over-dribbled a little much, didn't get the ball moving. Real quick here before we get to Matt Barnes at the bottom of the hour, I think that the one thing that's really good about all the outside shooting, I think in a way it's more relatable. And, I was in the Bay Area for a long time, and I'm going to say something nice about Steph. Forgive me. Steph Curry, I think one of the reasons he became so popular is because, you know, it's an illusion, but you see a guy making a jump shot, and it's more relatable than it is a guy going to the basket and dunking. Now, the average person has no chance of doing either one, right? But you see someone shoot a jump shot. Hey, I was in my driveway today. I made a shot on the other side of the lawn. You know, it's a little more relatable seeing a smaller guy make shots than it is seeing the big guys do things that most of us, you know, could never dream of doing.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. I mean, even when you go, like, play pickup ball now, when I go, there's always several guys that all they do is stand around the three-point line and shoot threes, and those guys are valuable.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when you're playing the 12, the twos and ones, and the guy hits three twos, you know, you're like, oh, my gosh. I will say this about Steph Curry, and maybe this is an unpopular opinion. I feel like Steph Curry, as great of a player and as, you know, the way he has changed the game, I think he has ruined youth basketball.
Really?
Yes.
How so?
I think because – the reason why Steph Curry shoots so many threes and is so good is because he can make them. There's no Steph. Like, on a youth, look at the youth three-point percentage versus NBA three-point percentage. Like, youth basketball, a good game for a youth squad is like 30%. Like, they're searching out. Like, it's taking out the imagination of youth basketball. Like, you know, mm-hmm. And I was listening to a podcast, just a small clip, and the imagination of running an offense. Now everybody just runs five out, pass and cut, and search for the three. It's like there's no imagination, no originality in basketball anymore. It's all just we're looking for threes. And the reason Steph Curry's so great is because he makes them. But these high school kids, these middle school kids, their percentage is nowhere near with Steph Curry.
No, I know what you mean. When I was coaching middle school girls, and sometimes, you know, before practice, they'd all want to, you know, shoot from half court, and I'd come out and say, are you going to shoot that in the game? No. Well, why are you practicing it? You know, what are you practicing? And you and I recently were out at the arena, and, you know, occasionally there's some high schools and middle schools that play, yeah. And there was one of them recently, and we don't know for sure what grade they are. I think it was middle school, if not younger, and they're warming up, and they're just letting them warm up. And virtually every player was shooting threes. That's all. That was their warm up until it was like, okay, you know, organized layup lines. Everybody, other than maybe one or two people who are there, that's all they're doing is heaving the ball at the basket from the 3-point line. So I think you may be onto something there.
Yeah, and that's my point. It's like for the pros and even in college, that's one thing, but. If you're I remember like you did, I was coaching fourth grade basketball, I think it was. And, you know, one kid, he was taking threes, you know, that's how he's warming up. I was like, dude, have you ever made that shot? Like, and I get it, you know, like seriously. And I was like, when you start making it, I'll let you shoot it. And, you know, eventually he progressed and he kept working on it and he got better. But that's what I'm talking about at the youth, you know, I'm talking middle school in early high school, it's just all about the 3-point shot. And honestly, you could argue that's not as enjoyable to watch anymore because there's no imagination to it anymore.
We have, I think, YouTube chat of the day comment here from Two Thumbs Down. Curry's ready to have a second career in North Korea with with those 4- and 8-point shots.
He might need it. He might need some extra money when he's done or something, right?
He'd score 16 in the final seconds of every quarter. That would be incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd average about 80 points just on four shots or something.
Unfortunately, as you know by now, neither Domas nor De'Aaron Fox was named to the Western Conference reserves. This is interesting. This is the announcements from the TNT crew, and it's about a minute here, but it's interesting because it's pretty clear they recognize that, there probably should be a king or two on this list.
Well, it was between De'Aaron Fox and Karl Anthony Towns. And so De'Aaron Fox has the numbers to back up everything that he's doing in the Western Conference, tough conference. He has been sensational as a normal 26, 27 points a game. You know, that's a tough out. But when you're winning that at that proficiency as the Minnesota Timberwolves, I thought they would get two players. And so Karl Anthony Towns or him.
Yeah, well, Sacramento got shut out.
They did.
And they're the number 5 team in the West.
They are. But Kenny's point, they rewarded winning with Karl Anthony Towns. You know, they've been at the top of the West for a while now. It came down, and it's just my opinion, to Karl Anthony Sabonis and Fox. I think those what the coaches were struggling with. And hey, listen, all three deserve to be an all-star, but you only have a certain amount of jerseys. Fox and Sabonis, they're like the next two guys that somebody get hurt.
And you think about
So Charles Barkley, and maybe we won't care, like you pointed out, Drape. Somebody gets hurt, two guys get hurt, they're in, it's all good. We don't even remember what happened last year. But apparently it was Cat over the Kings this year. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Kyle doesn't really want to talk about it. He is so upset about what happened, what went down with this voting, that he does not even want to address it at this point on the radio. Karl Anthony Towns, an all-star, over De'Aaron Fox and over our guy Domas, Kyle Draper. What the heck is that about?
I think Drapes might be struggling. I'm giving him a look here. He might have a little issue here.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. Apparently, Drapes has an issue audio-wise, so we'll get him going.
The ballroom shut him down there, Whitey.
Well, we've probably been pretty lucky to this point, right? I mean, we haven't had. Of course, you guys do such a good job in there. Maybe you've had a lot of problems and I never know about it, but for all the shows that he does on the road, things have, for the most part, gone pretty smoothly, haven't they?
Yeah, for the most part, nine times out of ten, there are things that you guys aren't privy to the information.
Sure.
I'm trying to tie it up like a Christmas, I mean, like a tennis shoe back here. But I think he's left the screen, and I'm going to have to figure it out here.
Yeah, he's gone. So it's difficult to get hold of him. But one thing that we decided much earlier in the show, 49er fans, I think you'd be interested in this. I had to kind of call out Drapes a little bit because – we got his schedule today, and he was nice enough to share that with me. He sends, of course, to the PD, and it's his upcoming schedule for the rest of the year. So where he's going to be, because, of course, Kings are in town. He'll be in studio or we'll be at the arena, but we don't know where he's going to be for some of the days where they have games. Can he make it, or is he traveling? And for the schedule, for the most part, is very few days will he miss, but there are certain days where he's traveling. But the schedule is clear. It's like, I'll be on from Phoenix this day, or I'll be on from wherever, OKC. This day I'll be traveling. There is one day on Drape's schedule where it's kind of iffy, where it's up in the air. It's like, well, I might be on and I might not. So that's understandable, except the one day is the day after the Super Bowl, February the 12th. Okay, and maybe it's true that we're not sure when we're flying to Phoenix that day. Interesting, because that's the only day where there appears to be a question about when they're flying to their destination. Of course, that also is the day after the Super Bowl. So I think Jay backed me up on this. Had to call shenanigans. To me, it's crystal clear that Kyle Draper is still trying to hold that door open so that when the 49ers destroy the Chiefs, he will have an out with, we're flying to Phoenix, couldn't be on the show today. And if somehow the Chiefs win, he can say, yep, we're good to go. I'm on. I don't know. I don't think he's ever gonna learn. You think he'll ever come on board with this, even when the 49ers win?
Even when they win, you know it's going to come up. Well, you know, Pat Mahomes' shoe was untied. Travis Kelce was looking up at the booth of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
The NFL didn't want to reward the Chiefs and Andy Reid because he didn't, you know, do a commercial.
Yeah.
You know what's coming, Whitey.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the 49ers do at this point. Drapes is all out.
Uh-huh.
He's not all in. He's all out.
Uh-huh.
It's why, like you said, he gave you a schedule all the way to 2025.
Yes.
Like you have his Christmas holidays.
Yes. Yes.
And all of us, of all the days, the Kings need him to do an appearance, pull up, you know, at the local elementary, read the book, the Dr. Seuss book.
I don't
book.
Know about that day.
Yeah. The one day, which is just a week away, almost.
Yeah. Interesting. Calling shenanigans on that.
Yeah, you got to catch him. Got to watch him.
Matt Barnes joining us when we come back. The great Matt Barnes, Sacramento's finest. He is going to be inducted into the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame this weekend. So we'll talk to Matt about that. State of the Kings, state of the NBA. When we come back, Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. You know, we're powering your afternoons when we remember to power up our computers. Is Drapes, is he good to go now?
Man, Drapes at that La Quinta Inn. The Kings ain't paying that five-star money right now.
All right. So he's unavailable? Yeah, apparently he had some issues with his laptop. All right, I thought we had Kyle Draper. I apologize to you, dear listener and viewer. We'll get Drapes on as soon as we can here, but we carry on. There we go. Hello, Kyle Draper.
I'm here, baby. I ain't going nowhere. I'm here.
Did you not plug in your computer or what happened there?
Yo, I tell you what, man. We stay at the nicest hotels when we're on the road with the team. But sometimes they just be jerry-rigging things. Like, I'm a post it on the social media. I wish I could show you guys, like, this outlet that they have. You know how you have a wall outlet?
Uh-huh.
Well, they got a wall outlet, but they got 10 things, like, plugged into it. And so there's, like, a little extension cord or something like that on the desk right here. So I had it plugged into that. And it's just tripping. Every time I plug in our audio mixer here, it just turns it off. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You would think in this nice hotel that things would be much more easier here.
Well, our next guest, and I want you to introduce him because you guys are, you know, you guys are coworkers, but he's going to be inducted this weekend into the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame, long overdue, Thunder Valley on Sunday. And I know he's your coworker and friend, Kyle.
Yeah, but I'm a little mad at him right now. I got a bone to pick with him. It's my guy, Matt Barnes, 14-year NBA veteran, Sacramento's own, going into the Sacramento Athletic Hall of Fame this week. You can see him on Autumn Smoke podcast. You can check him out on NBC Sports California. Matt Barnes, what's up, Matt?
Kyle, what's up, man? I'm sorry about what the Niners did to you guys, man.
Nah, I texted you the other day, and you ain't even hit me back, bro. I'm like,
I got to check that out.
No, Matt, here's the problem. This is a theme going on our show.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas won't come on the show
because
of me. Mitch Richmond never hit
Dominique
me back.
Dominique Wilkins.
I know, Dominique Wilkins, and now you.
I'm Matt Maiocco.
Matt Barnes got me covered. He didn't hit me back, though.
Oh, my bad. You know, I told you whenever you need me, man, I got you. You should just assume it's good.
All right, man. Jay Johnson had to lock you down. So I'm a little upset, but it's all good, man. Yeah. It's all good.
Matt, congratulations on this honor. It seems strange that they have a Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame and you're not in it yet, but that's going to be rectified. Can we ask you, because I know you were a great football player too and your brother played football, how did you end up choosing basketball over football?
I just think football is my first love. I grew up playing, you know, obviously picked up basketball a little bit later. But just at the time, I didn't see nobody 6'8". I didn't see anything like me out there. And although that intrigued me, it also made me think, you know, is there going to be longevity for 6'8", 220, going across the middle at times. So there's not a day I don't think about the what if, because, again, with all due respect to everyone who's made any professional sport, I know what it takes to get there. So I don't like when people, I could have did this, I could have did that. I felt like if I would have made football a priority that I could have played in the NFL as well. But, you know, no regrets. 14 years. I had a blast playing in the NBA, and I'm enjoying life after basketball.
I got Matt Barnes joining us. We'll get into the NBA here in a minute, Matt. But, you know, when you look at your career, one thing I like about you, obviously you had the athletic achievements. You're doing your thing in the podcast space right now. But your love for the city of Sacramento, I think, should be applauded as well. I know you got big plans for the city. What can you share for us, and what does this city mean to you?
It means everything to me, Kyle. I mean, it was a city that raised me. You know, I was born in San Jose and moved to Sacramento when I was 8, and from 8 to 18, you know, Sacramento is you know how I was shaped me. You know, so there were some good times and some bad times, but I mean, I always had love for a city that loves me. And you know, at one point, I was considering possibly running for mayor of Sacramento at 50. So I'm 43 now. So I said that when maybe I was 31, 32. So you know, I've done a lot of stuff in the community and working with the current mayor, KJ, and the former mayor, KJ, and then the current mayor, Steinberg. So, you know, I was intrigued when KJ did it, and he came from where I came from. And what I saw the most was just the improvement in the city. And, you know, giving back is something that's always been important to me. So we shall see. You know, that's one of my goals, and we'll see if we head that direction.
Matt, what was it like playing for your hometown team at age 24 and just your second year in the NBA and you're playing on the Sacramento Kings? What was that like for you?
It was amazing, you know, because the backstory behind it was, you know, I always came home every summer and Chris Webber was my big brother. So he took me under his arms. On and off the court, I was with Webb, and I had an opportunity to go back to the Clippers for a multi-year deal, you know, for the minimum, and I have some longevity there. But this is, you know, in the midst of the Adelman Kings and C-Webb and Bibb, and, you know, they're battling the Lakers out. So I'm like, man, if I could play for my hometown team and they're good, I was like, I got to take this chance. So worked out all summer in Sacramento, and, you know, Rick came down one day and asked me, you know, what I had going on, and we made it happen. Although it was short-lived, you know, I was heartbroken when Chris was traded to the 76ers because I was a throw-in, you know, and then we had a legendary night that night that we could talk about at another time, the night we found out we were traded in Dallas. And, you know, from there we were on the road, and that's when we really became close, C-Webb and I. So I owe a lot to Chris Webber as a man who kind of took me under his wings and, you know, showed me the ropes on and off the court.
Matt Barnes joining the Drive guys on Sactown Sports 1140. Matt, All-Stars were announced today. The reserves, our guys, Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox left off the list. What do you make of that? Were they robbed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, congratulations to everyone who made it. Tremendous honor. But, you know, Kyle, you know how we feel. I mean, I feel like these are two of the best players in the game that have brought an organization, not only a team, an organization, back to life. So you can't say enough good things about, you know, what each of these guys have done. I feel somehow, some way, one or both of them may end up on there, not initially selected, but I think, you know, with the way guys, you know a whole bunch of injury on anybody, but, you know, one of those guys, if not both, will probably end up going to Indiana. But to just not be voted in or not picked by the coaches, I was pretty surprised by that.
Matt, how do you think the Kings should approach this trade deadline?
Good question. I'm glad they're not paying me to make this decision. although I would do it if I had to.
Uh-huh.
I think you got to be aggressive. I think you got to kick the tires. You know, small organizations don't attract big free agents. You know, you have to draft well and you have to trade well. And I think of late they've drafted well and they've made really quality trades. So now that you have some assets and you have a team whose goal is to win a championship, I work for them and I feel as good as they are. I feel like there's something. I don't know what that is, though. They're a piece away. Whether that's a younger active wing guy or, you know, a Naz Reid type. I really love Naz Reid. I think he would have been great in Sacramento. But what a type like that in the front court. But they're missing something. So I definitely think, you know, they have to test the waters and see. And I feel like the only untouchable person, you know, I feel like there's a couple untouchable people. I feel like obviously Fox is untouchable, and I feel like Keegan's untouchable. You would think Sabonis is untouchable, but if something crazy came down, I think you would have to at least hear it. But I think, you know, you have to see what's out there.
Matt Barnes joining us. Matt, Keegan went off for 33. Obviously, a lot of big things expected of him this year. How would you rate his year, and has he progressed like you thought he would?
He has. Kyle, you and I personally talked about this on and off the air. You know, Mike Brown challenged him last year to be a two-way player, and people don't understand the caliber of shape you have to be in and the mindset you have to be in to guard the best player and then also produce on an offensive end when you're primarily a jump shooter. Although he's definitely diversified his game, he's getting downhill now. You know, he's a primary jump shooter. So, you know, I said early in the season I thought it was going to take him, you know, a little while, a couple months to understand the conditioning he needed to be in to be a two-way player, and he's doing that. I feel like he'll be a top five two-way player within the next 2 years. I like his size, his length, his ability to get his own shot off at his own speed. He's getting downhill. He's dunking on people. He's got his patented step back. He's got the mid-range, and then we know what he can do from the three-point line. So I really love the progression of him. You know, we forget he hasn't even had 2 full years in this game yet, and he's doing what he's doing. So the future is definitely bright for Keegan Murray.
Matt Barnes with us. He'll be inducted into the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame this weekend, Thunder Valley. We just had a discussion, Matt, based on something you and Steven Jackson talked about on your pod. So I want to ask you a question that you actually asked him about defense. And Steven Jackson pointed out, if I have the numbers right, between 85 and 04, there were 860 or more point games scored. And in the last 13 months, there have been 9. So I'm going to ask you what you asked him, which is, what is going on in the NBA offensively right now or defensively?
It's a boom. I think this is a double-edged sword because I think the NBA is as big as it's ever been because of all the scoring and the highlights. But it's also from just a pure basketball standpoint, it's almost embarrassing that, you know, the type of defense that is either displayed or not allowed to be displayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do anything with the offense now. And it's unfortunate because, again, I'm not someone that I'm a progressive. I love the scoring, but I'm to the point of it needs to be just something a little bit tougher out there. These guys, I feel guys are more skilled than they've ever been. But I also feel like, you know, just the ability to kind of, if you're really a scorer, to do what you want to do, there's nothing anyone can really do to stop you. So I hope they take a look at it somehow. I think Steve Kerr came up with something, you know, that they changed back in the day, and maybe they need to look back at changing something again. But I definitely think something needs to be done to kind of help out the defense of the game, but still allowing these guys to be skillful and score points.
Matt Barnes joining us. Matt, you know, one of the hot topics, obviously, scoring, but also with the injury to Joel Embiid, Tyrese Halliburton came out saying that the 65-game minimum rule is kind of stupid if you want to be all NBA or win any NBA awards. What do you make of a 65-game minimum in the NBA this season?
Another, you guys have got the good, tricky topics. It's tough. I feel like, you know,
I got him.
Hey, something had to be done because load management was getting out of control. You know, when I came in the league in the early 2000s, it was a badge of honor to try to play as close to, if not 82 games, and then go into the playoffs and have two-hour hard practices. You know, I sound old saying all that stuff. But, you know, load management is now a thing. And whether you think that San Antonio brought it in with the Pop, when Pop was doing it with Tim and those guys, it's here, and I don't know what they could really do to get it out. On the flip side, you want to see the best players play as much as they can. So it's just like, kind of like, you know, what do you do? What do you do now when it comes to, you know, winning awards? You know, obviously they wanted to raise the bar and try to entice these guys to, hey, if you want to be this and you want to be that, and that you want to have these, you know, these contract boosts kick in, you got to get out there and play. So it's tough. You know, again, you see Embiid has a torn meniscus, which is horrible. And again, he probably shouldn't even been playing the other night, and he was doing it because of this new rule. So they definitely have to take a look at this. I think Joe Dumars said something the other day, like, you know, no one's, you know, said anything about this. But I think, you know, now that obviously Embiid got hurt, they're going to have to go back and reevaluate this. But I think it's a tough decision or a tough situation because, again, you don't want stars sitting out. You don't want anyone sitting out unless they really need to. But, again, you don't want guys having to try to force themselves to play when they're huge parts of this league just to try to win an award.
Well, Matt, we appreciate your time very much, and congratulations again on the honor, Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame this weekend. We started with a football question, though, so let's wrap up with one. And keep in mind, your friend Draper is an Eagles fan, and he can't stand Brock Purdy and blah, blah, blah. How do you think the Super Bowl is going to go?
I think it's hard to bet. Die hard, born and raised Niner fan, but I know what we're going up against. You know, 4 Super Bowl trips in 6 years. You know, Tom Brady's the GOAT, but I say Mahomes is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen in my life. With all that said, I love our team, and I love what Brock Purdy showed in the second half, his ability to keep plays alive and scramble and get downfield and hit his targets when he needed to. Ton of skill guys. Our defense is looking good. So I'm picking Niners, but I know it won't be an easy one.
We were just looking at Kyle Draper's face here.
Look at Drake's face. Come on, Drake.
No, because Matt, you're my guy.
He's mad his team was a fluke. That's all it was.
Yeah. Oh, a fluke.
All right, Matt. The Philly fluke.
Hey, don't forget, I'm your point guard on the pre- and post-game show next time we play, next time we work together. So I ain't going to dish you the rock. It's going to be the Draper show.
Yeah.
No, it's all love. No, I'm excited, man. Again, you know, hats off to these guys. The Super Bowl, I think it's going to be great. You know, two good, great organizations. It's going to be fun.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Right, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
And thank you, Matt, for coining the phrase, the Philly fluke.
That's all right. You can kick us while we're down now. We'll be back next year.
Better believe it. Stomp them out. Stomp them out right now while you're down.
Speaking of the 49ers, tell you the one thing that disappointed Kyle Shanahan the most about the 49ers rush defense Sunday as we wrap things up here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. No more tears over Sabonis and Fox not getting named to the All-Star team today. A, good chance one or both could still make it. B, who cares? I'll get the rest up here. It's the Drive Guys, Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Interesting comments from Matt Barnes on a lot of NBA topics, but Drape's one of the things that people have noticed on the chat is When we asked Matt Barnes about the deadline, how he'd approach the deadline, mm-hmm. he said it would take an incredible offer for me to consider it. But he said he'd be open, you know, if the right deal came along, pardon me, to even trading Sabonis, which caught the attention of some people.
Yeah, I mean, but if Boston's offering Tatum and Brown, right? Yeah, you know, I think that's what he was talking
about.
That's
all he's saying. Yeah,
Tatum's available or something. It got to be like something, a no brainer. Like, oh my gosh, really?
Right.
Kind of, he's not looking to trade Domas, not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
But still, that was a very interesting comment. It's also interesting that he said, "Well, I'm glad I'm not having to make those decisions." But you know what? If I had to do it, so maybe there's a general managership in Matt Barnes' future. Anyway, once again, want to remind you the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame 2024 class being inducted this Sunday at Thunder Valley. If you get a chance to check that out, a lot of big names. We talked to today in James Donaldson and Matt Barnes, but that's going to be a lot of fun, as it always is, Kyle.
Yeah, and well-deserved. You know, these are two icons of Sacramento sports. James Donaldson, NBA All-Star. Matt Barnes, obviously, you know, his career is well-documented. And from his football exploits as well. You know, this guy was a two-sport athlete and great at both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as the Kings go, maybe we will see, as some people on the chat are suggesting. Again, thanks for all the participation today. Let's see. This is Jess says, attitude starts in Indy tomorrow, right? Mm. So maybe Domas and De'Aaron will show the NBA world tomorrow night in Indianapolis what they think of not being named to the All-Star team. So there's that.
Hey,
yeah.
That would be ideal. And that goes back to what you started off the show talking about, like motivation for these guys. Oh, you don't want to put me on? We'll show you. And so they should feel slighted because they both were deserving of making the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to finish up, if we could here, with just a little bit on the upcoming Super Bowl game. And to be honest, you know, Matt Barnes is he's a Niner fan, but he doesn't sound too confident, right? He appreciates Patrick Mahomes and what he brings to the party.
You could tell the way Matt was talking, like in his mind, he's picking the Chiefs, but publicly he got to support his guys, the Niners. So I get it, Matt. You know, that's why I was giving him that look during when he was saying, I was like, of course he's going to say the Niners. It's like zig when people expect you to zag, or zag when they expect you to zig. Be different, Matt Barnes.
No, I mean, it wasn't. His mind says one thing and publicly says another. It's his mind says one thing. His heart said another. It's from his heart that he knows that he should believe in the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan had some interesting things to say this week about the problems the 49ers are having stopping the run. And, you know, I think it was the fourth play from scrimmage when Jamison Williams went 42 yards on an end around. And this was very interesting. Kyle Shanahan said, you need pursuit on the field, and that play was disappointing to me because I thought our pursuit was as bad as it's been all year on both the two long runs. He said, we did get the edge. You know, a lot of this is X's and O's. He said, we did get the edge, not with the defensive end because they blocked down on him, but we did get it with the next guy to turn it back. When he turned it back, our pursuit wasn't there. That was the biggest disappointing thing about both those touchdown runs. End quote. And if you watch that first one, the Williams touchdown, you can see, I mean, Chase Young looks like he's just kind of like, oh, boy, there he goes. And so that's very disappointing for the coach and for Niner fans.
Yeah, I don't know if it, you know, they were sleepwalking early on, you know, they needed to be, you know, that halftime speech needed to wake them up or something. But yeah, that is concerning because pursuit is an effort thing, right? And, you know, you're talking about the NFC Championship game.
Yeah!
Like, well, you should have to, you know, coach your guys to give more effort in a game like that.
49er run defense through the Shanahan era. This is from David Lombardi based on, what is it, expected points over average per play. Anyway, in 2017, Shanahan's first year against the run, the defense ranked 17th. 2018, 11th. 2019, go to the Super Bowl, they were 7th against the run. 2020, they were 5th. 2021, they were 2nd.
Yeah.
2022, 2nd. 2023, 26th.
Wow.
26th.
Wah.
Man, wow. That's a problem.
That is a problem. And I was thinking as I was watching the game against the Lions, like, did they invest too much in pass rushers? You know, guy bringing in Chase Young, bringing in Gregory. You know, to me, they're more pass rushers and not necessarily run stoppers. I don't know, but that's shocking.
Yeah, watch what you say, because Jay, you get Jay started on how much money they're paying that defensive line. And
not even playing.
Not even playing.
Yeah, that Hargrave move hasn't really paid off. And
no, not at all.
In all
not
fairness, you know, Sacramento's own Eric Armstead, he's back, but I don't think he's been the same since he got hurt. And he's a real run stopper when he's on. So...
And it's not only the line, too. It's the linebackers, right? The missed tackling. Like, they got fantastic linebackers, but even the linebackers haven't been great at tackling the run, you know, this season.
All right. So, Drapes, thanks. Great job from your plush accommodations there. Yes. What are your duties tomorrow for the Kings and the Pacers?
Play-by-play once again, baby. Yeah. Me and Katie, from Indianapolis. We'll see if Tyrese plays. I know they're on the second night of a back-to-back. They got the Knicks tonight, so we'll see if Tyrese plays tomorrow.
All right, Drapes, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much for being with us. Thanks for your participation. Drive Guys back with you tomorrow right here on Sactown Sports.